Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Going under, I am going over, yeah. I'm not going under, I am coming over. Yeah. I'm coming over.
I never break under pressure, I always rise high. I'm a champion backed by the Most High. No sinking for me, all I see, victory in front of me. If you dig a ditch for me, you better dig a ditch for you. I'm not going under, going over. If you dig a ditch for me, you better dig a ditch for you.
Happy Sunday. This is Remark here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, the precious one, alongside with my co-host, Akira. And we are excited today to be in your company. Before I get into today and allow Kira to give her good warm greetings to you all, we have a guest inside the studio today. But before we get to all that good excitement, I just want to give a heartfelt thanks to God for allowing Akira and I to have the opportunity to be here to host the show while he's on vacation. So I want to give a thanks to Dwight Strawn, the manager of Guardian Radio, and all the Guardian Radio family. And so before we get into all of the other good stuff, I just want to give our listeners a little brief summary of who I am. My name is Precious. That's my real name, by the way. It's not a nickname. Precious Molly. And I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. I am a beekeeper. I am a life purpose coach, soon to be author. And now I am here hosting a radio talk show. Yes, indeed. So we have a lovely dialogue we're going to dive into today. And so I'm going to hand it over to Akira to give a warm well greetings to you all listeners today.
Happy Sunday to all of our local and international listeners. This is Akira, and it's truly a pleasure to be in your company today. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your Sunday with us at Guardian Radio 96.9 as we have an honest and meaningful conversation.
Yes, indeed. So today, we're talking about something deeply personal and deeply public, the church. For many, the church has been a place of healing, purpose, and community. For others, it's been a place of pain, judgment, control, and disappointment. The question isn't whether God is good. Many people still believe that, but the question is rather, is the church represented him well? Has the church built communities, or has it been disconnected from the people it's meant to serve? Has power been used to protect people or to protect positions? And most importantly, how can the church become a place of healing again? And so today in studio, we have our guest. Well, he's not a guest to me, but he is a guest to Akira and you listeners today.
Yes, most definitely.
And so I have the honor and the privilege to introduce Bishop Darren Woods here on Remark. So give your greetings and your introductions to the people today.
Pleasant good afternoon to Precious and Kira. I just met Kira. And also to you, the listening public here on this Sunday afternoon. My name is Bishop Darren Woods. I am the senior pastor of the New Goodwill Church of God. We like to say town in number 67, Pairdale. I like to say down in the Gehio. Where we have a lovely time. We're able to mix and mingle with the folks in the ghetto. In the ghetto. We like to make sure that we're available for their needs and also to be able to offer a service to them. And, of course, it's just a pleasure to be here with you today. This is my first time in a long time doing something like this on a Sunday.
Oh yeah, well,
this
wow.
kind of time on a Sunday, I'm
well. I know
trash.
You. I know you're rather busy.
Yeah,
you're busy.
After a certain person called who should name nameless. I call it a privilege to be able to give back.
And I am so grateful for that. So today our topic is the church. Is it a place of healing or is it hurting the community? And so before we dive into that conversation, I just want to quickly throw the phone lines out there. And it's 323-6232-325-4316. Then we have 325-4259. Then the family of violence is 357-20. And we have our text line that is powered by BTC is 422-4796. So Bishop Woods, So take us down your journey. What can you say was originally what your call to pastoral leadership?
Listen, if you know my story, the first thing
we want to know. We want to know.
There is no way he could be a pastor. There is no way he could be a bishop. There is no way.
Wow.
He could be in the pulpit. But I must also express good afternoon to my wife. Anybody who knows me know I say that she is my rib. She's not spare rib, but she is prime rib.
Yes, okay, got that like that.
Yes, but if when you hear the name Darren Woods and what you see before you today, if you were here more than 25, 30 years ago, taking you back into my early teens, I first accepted the Lord as my Savior at the age of 12.
Okay.
And it was at the hands of one Bishop Philman Wilson. He was the youth pastor of Faith Temple at the time where I was, of course, worshiping. And my mother was having eternal, he used to say H-E-L and two sticks with me. And he decided on this summer that, he said, listen, you go into youth camp. And the thing about it is, you had to been, I was 11. Because you had to have been 12 going on 13 in order to go.
Okay.
I was 11.
Wow.
So he says, there's no way I'm going to leave you here in New Providence to be a trauma to your mother. And so he took me to youth camp. And that was actually the first time. That was back in 1980.
Oh, wow.
The first time that I had an encounter with the Lord. Of course, as growing up as young people, you know, you tend to move away. But the root. The seed had already taken root, and then, of course, I'm growing up. And then as I grew as a teenager, I still found myself in trouble doing certain stuff, wheeling cutlasses and all sorts of things. But the one thing I can say that the church for me was a source of healing and a place where I can go for refuge. And let's contextualize it. I'm not talking about the church as the building, because we know the church is not the building.
Right.
The church is the people, the person, and the person who really single-handedly ensured that I did not become a statistic growing up in the 80s, and anyone who's old enough to know that the 80s was the height of the drug trade, okay? Mm-hmm. And my mother, she had three boys at the time, and she really, she dealt with us with a short leash. We couldn't go outside, we couldn't do all this, but yet still, I found my way to be very cantankerous and mischievous. And so he reached out to me and ensured that he was able to guide me, pick me up for prayer meeting, notwithstanding when I get to prayer meeting, when I kneel down to pray, when I know again, I have to wake up. He made sure I was a part of what we, at the time, he started this club called ICD for Christ. And it was the acronym. And he said, by wearing it, people, I said, what does that mean?
Right.
It means I choose to be different for Christ.
Oh, wow.
And I was still in school at the time. And every activity that was happening around the church, he made sure that I was a part of this activity. Even so much as singing in the choir. Yeah, but that's a story for another day. And I'm thankful to him because people see now the bishop in one sphere. People know me as the, but most people know me as the bishop.
Right.
And then, of course, people know me as the president of the Bahamas Hotel Catering and Allied Workers Union.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They see the glory.
Yes.
They see all of the aftermath. But they don't see, they didn't see all the, excuse my expression, all the manure that had to go around the tree.
Right.
All
right.
of the pruning, all the leaves, and all the watering, and all the fertilizer and stuff that had to go to make this tree bear the fruit that it's bearing today.
Right.
So being now a community leader, someone in the community who's leading not only from a religious standpoint, but also from a national standpoint.
Right.
But people don't know that everything that went into it, and it was all because I had a refuge in someone who took time with me.
Right.
And so for me, again, like I say, the church was a place of healing and also recuperation, surgery, restoration, and then placed on the path for where you see me at today.
All right, awesome. That's good. I love that. So you went a little ahead.
Ahead
of me, no, because you because you touched on it a little bit. Because I was going to ask you, what is your definition of church? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, you know, they say, well, I don't have to go to church because I am the church, or we are mm-hmm. the church. So just give us a brief description of what it is. What is church?
Church as the building is the brick and mortar.
Right.
Some place that you go to for worship and the like. But when you think about the church, when Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my kingdom, right. He established the church through Petros. And mm-hmm. so when we think about church as the institution or church as the body, church is the body of believers, persons right. coming together. And so we have to have the mindset that Christ had. And I like to say to people, everything that Jesus did was to teach us what to do.
Exactly.
He went about and he did ministry. And every time he saw a need, the word of God declares, and it says, and he had compassion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He saw a need. He did not leave the person in the state that he met them.
Exactly.
Never a time. And so the same thing with us as the church, we the church, the ecclesia, the called out body, we are supposed to, anytime we come in contact with a need, to address the need. Because it's hard to minister to someone or preach to someone who's hungry. Because the reality is, mind you talking, and they ain't listening. Because they're trying to figure out, how do I suppress these words, my brother? I eat for 2 days, or I eat a day, and now you come preaching the word. So Jesus had a knack for ensuring that the need was met. And the same thing that we have to do as the church. We have to be able to, whatever need we see, address it. We have a saying in our church, right? And that we would normally say, we cultivated a environment of family. That if you're hurting, you shouldn't be hurting alone. And my mother used to say to us, listen, one should only need until they get to the next one. Meaning, any one of your brothers and sisters, you have a need, you should be able to go to your brother and address that need, or one. So what we would say to them is, listen, if we can't do it, we know someone who could do it. And if we don't know someone who could do it, we know someone who knows someone who could do it. So let us know. You don't say, oh, they can't help.
Right.
Let us know what the situation is. And let us tell you, we can't help. And that's, we ain't gonna tell you that now. Because we ain't gonna stop until we find someone who could help to address this need.
Right. And on that notion, I just want to say, in my observation, I see a lot of churches, because I just want to give my background too. Mm-hmm. This is something I know that you don't know. Mm. But I've served in ministry as well. I grew up in ministry, actually. And from a young girl, probably, what you would say, Akira, at the age of...
He probably was eight.
Eight. I was in a dance ministry. I did the media. I played the drums. I did everything I could say, mm-hmm. except baptizing someone. Baptizing someone and actually shepherding a church. Mm-hmm. And so in my observation and serving the church, I see, as you mentioned, your community. I see a lot of communities like... The brothers and the sisters, we're not burden bearers. Mm-hmm. As how you said, if you reach out and you have a need, and we make sure that if we can fulfill a need, we're going to find somebody who could come and assist you with that need, to ensure that that need is taken care of. And so just give us some way of how we can come away from, because I'm seeing too now that it's become so self-centered, or I'm not helping this one because I need help myself. Mm-hmm. And so how can we get away from that and really be our brothers and our sisters' keepers?
I would start where you ended up, because you said it so succinctly. How do we be our brothers and sisters' keeper? Because you remember now, Cain and Abel, let's go all the way back.
Right.
Right. They both had to bring a sacrifice to God. Now, Abel took his time and was meticulous in what he brought.
Right, that's true.
Because there's some times when we come to God, we just bring him out of bringing sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I preached a message last week talking about moving away. Let's get away from traditions, because a lot of things we do in church now is because of tradition.
Yes.
Why are you doing it? Oh, we're doing it because this is how it's always been done.
Right.
Now, we need to move away from that and make church relevant to whomever it is. And being our brother's keeper means not being jealous. God accepted Abel's offering. He didn't accept Cain.
Yes.
Now, instead of him checking and saying, well, Lord, why didn't you accept my offering? He started hating on Abel.
Definitely.
And then he killed him. And so when he said, after he killed him and his blood cried out to God, God says, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? If you were not your brother's keeper, he would not ask you your brother was.
That's
so which means that we are responsible to God for our brother. Now, that's not only your blood brother, but your spiritual brother also.
Yes.
And so we have to be able to connect. And the problem is, because we have differing views, you said it so good. Well, I can't give because I need to.
Right.
Well, when you give, when it's sacrificial,
right,
and you give out of all you have, God promised that if you give to the poor, you ain't got to worry.
That's true. That's true.
If you do this to the least of these, what do you say? When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was in prison, you didn't. Say, Lord, when did we do this to you, Lord?
Yes. Yeah.
So each one of us is we are a representation of him in the flesh, because we were created in his image and his likeness.
Yes.
And so that is the only way that we could find our way to becoming our brother's keeper, when we recognize that there are some times when we have to give and we look at it and say, boy, I got this this light bill that is due. But you got a brother who come in and say, boy, I really need something to eat for my children.
Right.
Now, we know people could be crafty.
Yes.
They always throw the children on you to kind of break you down.
Yes.
Right? Because I had a gentleman who came, he came to church and they called me out and said, he really needed to see the pastor. So he said, man, I really need to get something for my children.
Right.
I said, boy, normally I don't give people money like that. I prefer that. But he really caught me at a time when I was between a rock and a hard place.
Right.
So here's what I did to him. I put the conscience on him. I said, okay, you came to me. You said you need this for your children.
Right.
To do this for your children. I said, now, normally we don't have cash here. But I was able to go to someone, as I always tell you, when I can't do it, I know someone else who could do it.
Yeah. Right.
So I enlisted someone else and I gave it to them. Before I gave it to them, I said, now, this is what you say you need it for. If you use it for anything different, it can be on you.
Right.
Right? He said, no, Pastor. This is what I need it for. And so we have to be able, again, to have compassion. But we also need the spirit of discernment. Because people will try to run over you because they're thinking now is because you're saved, God has stripped you of your sense.
That's right.
Hello?
That's a lot of people think that.
We have a caller on the line. Caller?
Hey, good afternoon, Precious.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you and your guest, then.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, you're talking about us, the church of fail. Hello?
I'm here. We're here.
You know, Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church of Jesus will never fail. But the place of worship, where people go, where we're supposed to have men that are building on the foundation of the church of Jesus, they are now going there doing their own thing. If we are not building on the teaching and of the apostle them build on the same teaching of Jesus. But men building on their own foundation. And that is the reason why we see a bunch of confusion that is practicing in the building that we go to worship. Because when people are not reading their Bible, you have man come and telling them, if you sow this seed, watch what God will do for you. Look at the Apostle M doctrine. If you ever see that inside the Bible, where the Apostle M used these terms to the people, Paul said, now I'm going, and after my departure, grievous wolves should enter into the house of God. So we have seen it. We have seen it come from America. Now our local pastors, them are doing this. Some of them are doing the same thing. You see, get rich. You can do this, and sow sow $1,000, and watch how God will bless you. People take their hard money and just give it. Yes, I believe you should pay your tithe. Yes, I believe you should help the church. But don't use the gimmick on, you see? And this is the problem what we get in the church, and that's why you see the attendance in the church is so gone down so much, because why, people say, well, what else? It ain't nothing else. We pastors, them cannot heal you. If God do not heal you, ain't nothing going to happen. They got to go through God, and if he don't heal you, that's it. You understand me?
I agree with what you're saying. So let me just ask you this. You made mention of the pastors, and you said along the line that they're doing whatever they feel as if that they want to do, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so with that being said, how do we hold them accountable, or how do we point them in the direction of what it should be?
We hold them accountable?
Yes, how do we hold them accountable for the things that they're doing?
When they finish preaching, you say, Pastor, excuse me a minute. I heard you say something on the pulpit about this. But show me that inside the Bible. If they cannot show you that in the Bible, you say, Pastor, well, you say this, but this is not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we are holding them, bringing them into question, and don't never let them say, they can't, you, oh, don't question me. We can question Jesus. He can question. You see? So I base on what the apostle them teach. That is the reason why you read, you study, that let no man deceive you. And this is the reason why so much of the behemoth them being deceived. Their eyes now are being opened, because why? They see that you get some good pastors here inside the Bahamas. Some very good
ones. Yes, for sure, for sure.
See?
We do.
But what happened? They copy from one another. So in other words, if God, see, they start off good, you know. Some pastors start off good. But you know what happened? The Bible said that it has gone in error. You see? It's like Jeremiah 33, it says, believe not the prophet. I did not send them. The false prophet. They prophesy in my name. You see? So, we are seeing it. We are seeing it. Look at what is going on inside you, United States. Those television pastors. How God is bringing them out one by one. Look at it. You see? So, I hold them accountable. When I sit in your congregation, I listen. And when I listen, and if I hear you say something, I go question that.
Thank you, caller. Thank you, caller, for your contribution. Mm-hmm. So we'll depict that in a short few.
I think for us, I heard that the caller said when he talked about the prophets don't believe them. I think you have to contextualize that too. Put it in the framework in which caller was talking to Jeremiah. At the time, you had prophets, false prophets running around saying that they came in the name of the Lord.
Right.
And what he was trying to differentiate, you could tell the prophets who he sent. He says, you'll know that whether they're a prophet or not, whether what they say comes to pass.
Right.
And that's why he said, once you recognize that what they say and so, then you don't believe them. And so, yes, we find that attendance is down because he mentioned it.
Yes,
he did. If you also have to watch what the Bible says, too. He says, in the last days, there will be a great falling away from the church.
Right. And I was about to tell him, the prophecy have to be fulfilled.
Exactly. So it can be a combination of, but see, if you know the word, you will find if things ain't right in the house where you are,
right,
then you can make sure you get in the house where things is right or things are right. Because you don't be a part of the great falling away. Because people say, as you mentioned earlier, people say, well, I don't have to go to church. I am the church. I can stay home. But he also says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. That is for a reason.
Right.
Human beings were created for companionship.
That's for sure.
When God created everything, after he finished created everything, even when he created man, he said, everything is good. But when he looked, he saw that there was something innate missing out of that man.
Exactly.
Because everything that he created had something to converse with. We had, and when I say, I'm going to use this, we only had, and I'm using that descriptively, the only thing we had at the time was a vertical relationship. We had no horizontal relationship.
That's true.
The absence of when God came down in the cool of the day and us being, after he would have blew his spirit and his breath in us and we became a living soul, there was still something missing. Right. And so he recognized I needed to do one thing other. And then we had woman.
So why you have to look at us?
Well, because I'm in the studio with two, right?
But at that point, he recognized that man needed more, a little bit more than the relationship, notwithstanding what he gave us.
Yes.
And so for us to be able to communicate, and when we come together, and I always say to the people, you know, when you come to church, you aren't supposed to come to church looking for someone to get you ready to praise God.
That's true.
He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This is how the church becomes a place of healing.
Yes.
Because if someone comes into an atmosphere that is charged, where the Holy Spirit is moving, and they come burdened down, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Yes.
And so Calvary is reform when we get into church on a daily basis. Because the same effect that Calvary had on that day is the same effect that you could get in there when we get into that place worshiping him, entering into his gates with thanksgiving. And then it goes a step further. He says, and then you enter into his courts, which is the inner sanctuary.
Right.
On the inside, if you know, the tabernacle was drafted that in those days, you had the outer court, then you had the inner one.
Yes.
The inner one was where he was.
Yes.
And so by the time as we get into this place, there's nothing that can happen. There's a song, what the songwriter say, when God comes around, he says, anything can happen. When you put yourself in a place for a miracle to happen for you.
That's
one of the reasons why we should not stay away. And therein you find the church being able to address and become a place of healing, because you have not the building, but the called out ones in there.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. I love that a lot. I want to ask you, do you think people's expectation of the church has changed over time?
The expectations of the church has changed because they're demanding more from the church.
Okay.
And they're demanding more from the church, as he would have said, because you find, let's face it, Nassau, New Providence, is such a small town, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I may know you.
Right.
You're a pastor. Kira is also a pastor. You doing something that ain't right. You know what I say? Instead, I say, well, you have some. I'm glad Carla referred to that. You have some pastors. But the general vernacular of the Bahamians, man, all them pastors doing the same thing.
Yes, they put it all in one category.
I always say that we are broad-breasted society.
All churches deem us evil.
and the only way you missed that brush, if you could duck or you was in there, right?
That's true.
But they make sure they say all.
Yes.
But instead of us addressing the individuality of the industry and also isolating it.
Right.
To say you have this one who's doing that, the next one who's doing the next thing. But we always, you know, we so broad-breasted. And then you find if the church has become, the church has been more caring. Because that's one of the things I made a note of. If you talk about how do we address trauma, if there's trauma in the church for healing, someone is going through a situation, if you are connected and you have the spirit of discernment, you'll know when someone is going through something. Because we are designed that we wear, no matter how we try, we wear everything that's happened with us on our faces.
Yeah, I surely do.
We wear it on our faces.
I try.
So, which means in my professional life as a trade unionist and a negotiator, we like to sit in front of our people who we negotiate with. So we can see your expression.
Mm-hmm.
Because God gave that to us. It's hard for, you could say anything with your mouth.
Right.
But your expression and your emotion shows exactly what's going
on. That's another story.
So you could be telling me, I said, man, we want X, Y, Z. You could say, well, no. Or yes. And then I read your face. I said, boy, we ain't getting that. Because you could tell.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And so that's why we have to be able to exhibit more care and be able to analyze when people are literally going through stuff. Because let's face it, everyone is going through something. The degree of that something is different for you. The analogy I like to use, you know, you see people praying, someone may be praying for shoes, a pair of shoes. He asking God for shoes, but God bigger than that. No, God says, whatever concerns you concerns me.
Definitely.
And if you see that person praying for shoes, because you have shoes, you don't feel that. But now,
that's his need.
Your need is you may need some money.
Right.
You understand? So each need is different, but the care should be the same to address that need just as you would this need with the same level of importance. Jesus had a knock. Didn't matter who he came into contact with.
Yeah.
He met them at their need, and he was able to address the need straight across the board equally. He's God.
Yes. You said something about trauma, mm-hmm. and I want to talk about that just a little bit in churches. You have a lot of people who have past trauma, and I don't, in my observations, you can correct me mm-hmm. and let me know, I don't see that the churches are well equipped to deal with people who have past traumas. And a lot of times I've seen where leaders would just say, okay, well, you need to pray more, you need to fast more, but nothing seems to be happening. And I started to do a little bit more research. Mm-hmm. And I was doing some research, I started to look in therapists. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, if you think having a therapist as well as spiritual guidance, if it can help with that trauma, with those who are suffering with trauma inside the churches.
Yeah, you see, here's what they taught us in studies. As a pastor, here's what they call, what we call pastoral counseling.
Okay.
Where we start to counsel people on the level that they're at, but it's more from a spiritual aspect. The reality is, if you go into something, initially, the last thing you want to hear is what the Bible say.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Hello?
I agree wholeheartedly.
The last thing you want someone to tell you, well, listen, man, God got you. You telling me God got me and I going through this?
Exactly.
And this the God what got me? So you find that we start relating to them on a life level.
Right.
Meaning we acknowledge what it is that they're going through and we find ways to start to navigate them to what the word says.
Right.
But the initial thing may not be, because if you just lost your loved one, who you been praying for, asking God to heal, and God ain't healed, and then you can come and tell me, you know, God knows best.
Yes.
Man,
yes,
you looking
yes.
for me. Listen, boy, you, that's
but they do it all the time.
Get up out of here.
They do it all the time.
I am so careful, and I've even seen this. And I guess, is again, because of the way Bishop Wilson would have dealt with me.
Right.
Yes, I was a rogue.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. But he recognized that this rogue, the way for me to try to get him to understand is to try to meet him where he's at.
Yes.
Once I'm able to meet him where he's at, then I can introduce him to this. It's like kindergarten, right? Then you go into K1, K2, K4, 5. Then you go into grade 1. And then you begin to matriculate. So it's different levels of introduction. But the main thing is to try to meet them. And know, and the thing is, back to your question, when you talk about therapists, so when we as counselors, pastoral mm-hmm. counsel,
right.
we have to know when to refer.
Okay.
To a therapist, excuse me, or someone of that nature. But you also try to find someone of faith who is, because there needs to be a balance.
Right.
Because if you are talking to someone who does not know Christ, who does not know God, and they're talking from a world standpoint, that ain't where you want someone to go.
No.
You see? That's not where you want them to go. You need them to be able to go from your level of counseling, which is connecting the spiritual and the mind, to someone who's able now to this all of this, what they would have studied in school, but still connected to the higher being.
Right.
To make sure it is effective at the end of the day. So that is how you will find the two can mesh, the therapy and the spiritual aspect in terms of counseling, once you refer them to. And they always say you always have a list of persons that you could refer to. You need a nurse, you need a doctor, you need a lawyer. You need to have all of them in your Rolodex. So whenever you, right back
you
to what I said
call.
To you, if we can't do it, we know someone who can do it, or
yes.
we know someone who knows someone who could do it.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. We will be right back. We're here in studio with Bishop Darren Woods. We're here if the church is a place of healing, or as hurting the community.
Mm-hmm. My best move, come what may, I'm going through. Upgrade on the way. Got to keep the faith. Can't keep a good man down.
Can't keep a good man down.
You cannot stop this show. I am blessed where I go. Can't keep a good man down.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help. From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Upgrade on the way. Got to keep the faith. Can't keep a good man down.
Can't keep a good man down.
Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9. This is Remark with your host, Akira. And Precious. In studio today with us, we have Bishop Darren Woods. So before we get into our next conversation, our telephone lines are 323-6232, and that's 325-4316, 325-4259, and the family islands are 242-300-5720. And then our text line, powered by BTC, is 422-4796. Now, during the break, I had asked Bishop Darren Woods, How does he handle a person coming from past church trauma to his church? Mm-hmm. Bishop, you want to go ahead and...
Well, the thing with that is, you know, once you see... And hey, people always tell you, church hurt is the worst hurt.
Oh, yes, definitely. I could go on. I have a Christmas list.
And that is because people never walk into the church and expect to be hurt.
Yes.
Again... You're not gonna hurt. You're not gonna get hurt from the building. You're gonna get hurt from the people in the building, and that is because we have differing views. Now Jesus had 12, but one was a rogue, yes. And he didn't let that deter him from his ministry because he knew that. So when people come into the church and they are hurt, and then they leave, and for me, what I like to say to people is before you leave, you at least have a conversation with the person in the tourism business. We have what we call an exit survey. When people are leaving, we ask them, how was their stay? What were some of the highlights? What challenges they have and the like? And that is so that people can, the administrators, they are able to adjust. The same thing if you go into a store and you have a bad experience. 9 times out of 10, the owner would not know that if you don't say that. That's so true. In order for him to fix or her to fix whatever situation that's happening in the organization, because there might not be a manager on the spot right then to deal with it. Yeah. So you have to at least say that to them. So when you see people come into the church where they were hurt before, there's walls, or there are walls that are built up. And so now you, as the leader, you're faced with this person who has these walls up when it has nothing to do with you. You didn't do anything. But now in order to get that person comfortable, you now need to start to take those walls down. And now how do you do that? It's done one brick at a time. The first thing you do is you need to be able to build a relationship with that person. Because as John Maxwell would say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's true.
Now, when they know that you genuinely care and you are concerned about them and their need, and you start to walk or move in that direction, again, people will follow you because of your position or title. But your position or title could only get them to do so much.
That's true.
That's positional leadership. When you move to relational leadership, where you start to interact with them and you say to them, Kira, man, you know, is everything okay? How's things with your family? How are things with you? Mm-hmm. And you say, boy, Bishop, anything? I said, well, let's start sitting have a talk. And we sit and we have a talk. And then we start saying, you say, but I have this and I have that. I said, well, did you try this? Why don't you look at this? And then you say, okay, I can do that. Then you go and you look and you see some things happen based on some of the advices that you were given. Then you start to, the walls then begin to come down. And then you have to say, or be also be able to say to that person, now, don't judge me based on your past relationship. Because let's put it personal now. In our personal lives over the years, we would have had relationships with people that didn't work out. But that didn't stop us from seeking other relationships.
That's true.
You understand? So the same way we would do in our personal way, we also have to be able to do that in the corporate way to make sure that, because someone hurt you don't mean that someone, now, you know the ingredients that went into you being hurt. You could see it.
Yes.
And so definitely if you see that up, you see that start to happen again, you start to retract.
Yeah.
And so you then now have to, once they get into your space, you have to be able to deal with them on a one-on-one level and be able to speak to them and then show them that, listen, where you were, they're saying that.
Right.
Okay? This is not where you are. This is not where I'm at. Or this is not where we are. And you try to address it, I say, head on.
Okay, I have a texter that wants, that asks Bishop Woods to give some tips on finding a good church home after being hurt so many times. What do you look for and what to avoid?
Oh, Lord.
But before you answer that question, I think for the most part, right. You know, like we mentioned, we go into churches looking for, you know, refuge, that compassion. And then sometimes persons put a lot of faith into man, the leadership.
Yes,
when
that's
the leadership,
true.
We live in a fallen world. I mean, they're not perfect.
Right.
So sometimes the leadership may fail them, and then they're like, you know what? I give up on church.
Yeah. Right. The expectation isn't met.
But you shouldn't give up on church. God.
You know, I heard someone say this. I try to remember if this came through a little video. Someone sent me the other day. Say, you know something? They put a lot of demands on the church. And they, you know, they say they go to this church and something happened, or someone says something to them in the church, they leave the church, they don't come back. He said, but you know what's amazing? They go to work.
Every single day.
Say something to them. But they don't leave that job.
No.
They go back to that job every day.
Every day.
But they don't give you a chance. So when the person asks, how do you find? There is no perfect church.
Yeah,
there is no.
The reason why there's no perfect church, because we have imperfect people in the church.
Yes, that's true.
Now, you could go maybe to a perfect body or building.
Yes.
But there's no, and even the building, no matter how well you try to build it, there is still imperfection that you may not be able to see right away. But when you start to put, you know, when you really know when you're building off, because if there's nothing in the building, you wouldn't know the building off square. Put tiles on the floor. Hello?
Yes, that's true.
By the time you get there, you'll see your tiles running this way. You start to measure stuff. When you start to go, you see the building going this way. So the thing for anyone who's been hurt is not to give up.
Yes.
And again, I said it earlier, you begin to see something. One of the things we, particularly when we do leadership training, leadership development, and relationship building, one of the things we say, the first person, whoever that is, your people meet, they have to see I have the same spirit that the pastor has.
Yes.
So the same anointing that's on the altar got to be out in the parking lot. Hello? Yes, when that person come and they pull up, hello, ma'am, how are you? What are you? We're glad to have you here today. Can you follow me and you show them where to park? And you say, no, could you just back up a little because we want to make sure that somebody else could get in. And then when you get it, you say, wow, what's this? Because now this is the parking lot. Now you're in the church here.
Right.
Right? So now when you get on, she said, and then the person, whoever's in the parking lot says, they point you to the direction to get to the front of the church or to the entrance. And when you get there, you meet a greeter. Ma'am, it's so good to have you. Thank you for visiting with us today. Yes. Is there anything that we can help you with? Is this your first time? Are you visiting for the... Yeah, okay, here's a visitor's note that you could take and so forth and so forth. And then you get ushered into the usher. I like to say the usher, right? And the usher is so nice like and that. Pleasant. And right. then they take you to your seat. And you say, ooh, this experience is already good. You begin feeling... You're feeling now like that you already pampered and all of that.
Right.
So it's hard to say... to point out the things that you can look for in a perfect, because there is no perfect church.
That's
but
true.
I can tell you one thing. If you find the person in the parking lot greeting you with a smile, you're starting there.
Yes.
Okay? And then when you get in there, the worship service is so conducive in terms of the people being friendly. My former church, we had a thing say, it was Faith Temple where we had friendly people. By ours is everybody is somebody and Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when you start to hear these things, but not only hear them, you start to see them manifest in the behavior of the people.
Yes.
So it's almost like a mindset. It's like a training that whatever the mission is, you have to be able to demonstrate that mission to the people. So when they happen to hear what your mission says, they say, oh, yes, I see why this is their mission statement. And then how the overall environment is, where it's inviting, then you know for sure.
Yes, yes. So you can say that the churches at large are lacking leadership skills or training.
Now, I'm going to be careful how I tread on that, right? Because everyone is a leader in their own right.
That's true.
A lot of times you find persons who, outside the church, in the church or in the marketplace, meaning the workplace.
Right.
You find people, once they would have gotten a promotion or been in a position for X number of years, they tend to start to lose the luster in terms of the care. But one of the things you could never lose as a leader is care for people. And when you talk about that, I there's a note that talks about how much you need to care for people. In our church, we have what we call a care ministry. Now that ministry is, if Precious don't come to church today, this Sunday.
Right? Oh, wow.
You have called Precious to find out what happened. This is the first Sunday now. This ain't after you've been missing for so long.
Right.
Right?
It's the first Sunday.
This is the first Sunday. Wow. And the reason with that being because then they would expect for the pastor to come and say that they're missing. Now, in the context with Darren Woods, I also have a job that takes me all out of the country.
Right.
Between May to now, I've been traveling extensively, right? Work, professional, conferences, and all of the like. I have an assistant. So the spirit of the leader has to be the same spirit that he's adopted. So when they call to say, well, Precious didn't come to church today, and they mention it to him, now it's his job to call to find out. Now, in our church, we have a lot of young people, so I got to do what the young people do. When they tell me you ain't been to church, I send you to look in the eyes.
Emoji.
Yeah, I send them the little emoji, right?
Where are you?
Look, yeah, what happened? And then they said, oh, Pastor, I had to so-and-so. I said, I just want you to know we're checking on you.
Right.
You see, because it's the first time it may be difficult to miss a Sunday. Nobody check.
Yes.
The next time you miss another Sunday, nobody check. Then you say, well, ain't nobody checking for me. Then you say, well, let me just see what can happen here.
Until you just don't show up anymore.
Until you just don't show up anymore.
I actually have a friend.
Right.
I know of a few persons that are actually going through that right now.
Right.
Like right now, Miss Church. And the church knows that, you know, they were ill. And she's hurt because she said no one reached out to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, If I retract, she did say someone reach out. She's a part of a ministry. Mm-hmm. And the person mentioned to her, we all miss you in this ministry. So her question to me was, if they all miss me, they only one person contacted me, not the whole ministry.
Now, maybe the same thing. For me, what we do is the person who's responsible for that ministry would be the first person to reach out.
But I don't think it was the person because she, in speaking with her, mm-hmm. I could tell she's distraught because it was just maybe because she has a relationship with that person. She reached out to her. And I think she wanted to do the right thing and say the right thing. Like, we all miss you, but why hasn't that lead of the ministry contacted me? But
again, and see, that there is a touch because you have to know all of the things that go into it.
That's true,
but generally, when you're talking from a general standpoint, if you develop stuff like that, because, and I always say to the people in church, I say, who normally sits next to you? Mm-hmm. Okay? That's how you empower your people and make sure that they follow what you're saying. Who normally sits next to you? If you don't see them here, you call them to find out what's going on.
Right.
And then when you call to find out what's going on, the next thing to do is let me know. I had a situation where one of the ladies in the church was, and she's one who, she said, our church is relatively, so I can see when you miss it.
Okay.
And I can give you a joke with what I always tell her too, right? And so she went into the hospital unexpectedly. And so when she went in, she said to, she called somebody, I don't remember who she called. And then, but someone else told me that she was in the hospital when I was going away, right? And so I said to my wife, I said, listen, I need to run down to the hospital. I said, I got to go to the hospital. And so when I went down there, I was up and down trying to find her. Uh-huh. You know? And so by the time as I found where she was, the appointment was, and when I walk in the door, I said, then I knock and they let me, I went in. She says, oh, Pastor, I knew you was coming.
Oh, wow.
I said, what you mean you know I was coming? She said, I knew you were going to come. I said, nah, hey. I said, I'm going away. She said, but I knew you were coming. And so what that does for that particular person when they mm-hmm. started talking, because when she told her mother, she said, man, her mother actually called me and said, thank you for going and visiting her in the state that she was in. Because, of course, she got herself into a problem. But I said, but listen, whatever, we're here to minister to the whole man, holistic. That's another point. In terms of the church becoming a healer, it has to be holistic. It can't only be when it's a spiritual need, but when it's a physical need, or when I'm sick. Now, every time when you're sick, the pastor can be able to come.
Which is definitely true.
But, of course, once you know the makeup of your organization, and you know who should come and do what, because the pastor may be, but there are some times when only the pastor.
Yes.
There are some times when only the leader, doesn't matter who comes, until that leader shows up. And I've experienced that, particularly in my years coming up in the union, because we would go there every day, seeing the people and all that. And they say, Mom, we don't see nobody. We don't see nobody. So what you mean? I said, we have you. Mom, we didn't elect you. This is when I was an organizer. We didn't elect you. We elect the officers. We want to see the president. We want to see the president.
Wow.
So they rowing us. And then when the president goes there and he goes, hey, because we telling him what they saying now. Right. Right? Mm-hmm. And so when he goes out there, they melt when they see him. Oh, Mr. President. We only wanted to see you. We only wanted to touch you. And so it made it seem as if we were telling him an untruth. But
right.
The fact is, that leader, that person, mm-hmm. there's a complete difference when the leader walks into the room. And that's I always true. Say to people, I say, when you see that leader comes in, no matter what's going on, when you hear them announce, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, when he walks into the room, everybody stands at awe. Because the leader walks in.
Right.
The leader could do a lot when others can't.
That's so true. So just go to the phone lines right mm-hmm. quick, Holly, you're on there.
I'm on the air.
Yes, indeed.
this is Garth Rosewell here.
Hello there. Hi.
Hello,
this
Garth.
Is the gentleman who's be on Shanique Miller's show. Sorry I'm here in your absence, but this is what took me to get here.
Well, John, the late John Humes is my cousin.
Well, listen here now. So now he is the one who's saying, you know, with us and these wives, that you ain't amount to half a hallelujah without him.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to your discourse, and mm-hmm. Very encouraging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very, very, very good show, so thanks to you all.
Yes.
Of course, I got to be the one to give mischief and challenge, eh?
Of course.
Huh?
Of course. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to identify that there are two other groupings of people
mm-hmm.
Who may not attend church.
Right.
And those two groups for me are the people who, like Christ, went to the River Jordan
mm-hmm.
to be baptized and not the Temple of Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
for their anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And they find themselves being the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. They're more comfortable being led because of their spiritual maturity
mm-hmm.
To be in the highways and the byways
mm-hmm.
and affecting lives of many And then the second set of people are those who feel that once they enter into the doors of the church, there is a culture, mm-hmm. there are rituals, mm-hmm. there are guidelines, there are control mechanisms, there's envy, jealousy, strife, and all of the sins that are mentioned in the good book that are present because a church is a hospital for sinners, mm-hmm. and there's too many sinners in one place for you to handle. Mm-hmm. So rather than going to see those demons on the weekend, you prefer to go elsewhere. Uh-huh. You see, so you find that you may just make it to heaven, like I told someone a day or two ago. Mm-hmm. If I go to church, I may not make it. Mm-hmm. But maybe if I stay on the highways and the byways, I can better allow God to lead me to the kingdom of heaven because I'm less stressed. I don't have that much confrontation, mm-hmm. and I don't have that much temptation. Mm-hmm. But as a former pastor, I can tell you, buddy, church ain't easy.
No.
And anytime you enter into the doors of that temple, somehow the devil sits right there in the front row or the back row, either which row he ends.
On the side.
There's always someone there to meddle with you. And so I'm only saying today, Pastor Woods, mm-hmm. for those who don't attend, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is lost.
No.
Some are still with the Savior, but you got to pray for them.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with fellowshipping with the brethren, of course.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. And every now and then you step in and you fellowship.
Right.
But I think the church is a dynamic entity, mm-hmm. and the church takes effect in various forms. And so as you have your mission, others will find their mission, whether it's feeding the poor, mm-hmm. clothing the naked, visiting the prison, mm-hmm. visiting the hospitals, etc. Mm-hmm. And so great show, and continue the good message.
Yeah, thank you. And just to jump on what you said, Brother Rosgrove, it's not to suggest that persons who doesn't attend regularly are not saved, but for whatever reason, but they would find themselves able to connect to the source because as a norm, you cannot continue to give, and not be replenished.
That's true.
Because at some point you need to be reconnected to the source to be recharged.
Yes.
We have a car that is, EV.
Right.
Electric vehicle.
Right.
And every so often it gives you so much miles to a full charge.
Yeah. Right.
And then so there's some point where you have to go back and you have to charge.
Charge.
Or the regular car, there's so much you get full, so much to a gallon.
Refuel.
You gotta go back and refuel.
That's true.
And so once you find that venue for you to be able to refuel, and yes, you have persons who are said to be missionary, Paul. So he started church, but he never pastored the church. He keep moving out there. But he was able to connect and also be able to have people to work on his behalf. And once you find yourself as that is what your calling is, then fine.
Right.
Okay? But we know that church, and you get into them walls, and you see the real business in the church.
Yes.
You need all of God and some. You need Father, Son, and there's sometimes you actually got to put on the whole armor to go in church.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And I always tell people, I say, boy, the devil is going to church too. Oh, don't forget now.
Yes.
When God was sitting up there the other day before Job, he went up there before God. And God said, listen, he said, he was to and fro. He was looking for someone to trouble. God said, did you consider my servant Job? So, yeah. So I got him right now. I said, nah, the only reason why he's doing what he's doing because you got all this stuff from him. You got this.
Yes.
He said, well, I would remove it, but you can't touch his life. You can't kill him and all that. And so when you find people who are entrenched in what it is that they believe, they want to move forward in God. And that's why we try to do church, not traditional. Because I said it, I think, earlier when we came in today. When you do things sort of to the tradition, a message I preached last week, everybody look alike. I
sure,
doing it because
true.
She doing it.
Right.
She doing it because he doing it. When you ask him, well, why are you doing it? And I like to say, they're like the two fellas would get caught loafing on the job. The boss coming out, what you doing? He say, nothing. Say, what you doing? Say, I helping him. Right? And so we have to get to the point where ministry
yes.
and serving God becomes, what I say, personal before it could become corporate. Because it all depends on your personal relationship with God. How it's going to be manifested when you get into corporate. So when you find this person spending time in prayer, praying for the service, praying for the sick, this person doing the same thing, when you see you get into the place, like when the priest stood to minister, he couldn't minister because the anointing was so heavy, the glory was so great, and most of that, and when you find yourself in that type of atmosphere, then God begins to speak. It doesn't yes. matter what we have to say. Because our programs then go to win. We have to be flexible. We find a church, for the most part, We ain't flexible. Because when you see that pastor come and he got a word for you, you can hear that word. I don't care. But when there's a move of God, when God wants to speak, I always say to the people, this is his house. When we come into his house, it's pretty much we're the guest. And when he shows up, he can do whatever he wants. And when he does it, then we go home. Because if God speaks, of course, I'm from a Pentecostal background. When God speaks, what if for me to say again? Because what he can say in a couple of minutes and the effect he can have on people, I could be preaching for 3 days.
Yes.
And still don't get done. Only tiring out myself.
Right. All right. I wanna just dive into community building. Before I ask you this question about community building, I just want to throw those phone lines out there once more. And it's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. The family of violence is 357-20. And our text line powered by BTC is 422-4796. So in regards to community building, do you think the church has dropped the ball when it comes to community building?
Let me speak from where I sit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right? it can be a yeah, because again, you can't paint the same broad brush approach. With this also, because you will have churches who are doing, because a lot of people say, what is the church doing?
Right.
We can't see. Well, we are not called to give and, what they say, to kiss and tell. Right. We're not called to kiss and tell.
Right.
We are to give and then let whatever we have done in secret.
Yes.
It'll be seen out there. Because he said, we don't, when we give our alms, we don't go in and say, oh, well, now we're going to do this and that and the next thing and all the stuff, right? My mother tell me, she said, you know, I don't want you be like them politicians. Every time they push their hand in their pocket, they go on TV so people can see they pushing their hand in the pocket, right?
Right.
She said, when you get up there, she said, you preach the word. Don't preach politics.
Right.
Don't preach people business. You preach the word. And so if we are going to build the community, we have to start from the foundation, which is the children. Okay? Walt Disney became what it is today because they focus on the children. Why? They say if we get the children, the children will bring the parents.
Parents, right? Yes.
So we now have to have an environment that is open to meeting the needs of the children. One of the things we did as a church, when I went to the church where I'm at now, was we used to have what we call family training hour. It was on a Wednesday. Now, Wednesday is the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, the parents ain't gonna send their children out on a Wednesday night, because that's the middle of the school week.
Right.
So what did we do? We noticed that was a challenge, so we moved it from Wednesday to Friday. Bam. Now, you have more children are able to come out on a Friday night than would be on a Wednesday night. Mm. And so we started to work that. And then we have the Boys and Girls Club that we try to meet on Saturdays.
Okay.
You know, once they do their chores, because, you know, so on Saturday, we really ain't want these children around us anyhow.
No.
Because Monday to Friday, they're to school.
Yes.
Now we got the Saturday.
Right.
If the church happens, let's send them over to the church. And then, Sunday morning, you go to church too.
Yes.
Then you won't wonder, you already have nothing Sunday evening to do. Right? So we got to be able to get and connect with them, the community on that level. And then be a safe haven.
Yes.
For the community when things happen that they could come into.
Yes.
One of the things we did when we went, we went across the street where some guys used to hang out across the street. And so, you know, I say, hi, my name is Bishop Woods, and we're here. Oh, we're the new pastors for the church. And so the first thing, Bishop, so this is the first time anybody ever come out there to us.
Oh, wow.
I said, what do you mean? I said, no, man, I said, don't say that. Man. She said, yeah. Say, man, they used to call the police for us.
No.
I said, well, come on. So I said, listen, man. I said, we're here now, and I want to invite you all over. Oh, you know, you don't have nothing to be. I said, well, let me explain something to you. I said, whatever you have, whenever you're ready, you call me. I say, and whatever you have, I can dress like you. He said, well, I wear jeans. I said, okay. I said, I'll wear jeans. I said, now let me explain something to you. Don't come with none of them holy jeans now, right? I was being a little funny with him. I said, because, you know, I don't have the legs for them kind of thing. I said, but whenever you're ready, you let me know, and I come. And you wouldn't believe, it took that person 1 year before they actually came.
Oh, wow.
1 year.
But he came.
And, he came. And not only did he come, when he came, he brought the fellas them.
Oh, wow.
Why? Because I met them. I went out into the community, because Brother Burroughs, God, just said it. You know, you have people who are not coming in, so you need to go out to them.
That's
true. But we've become so comfortable in the party pews, the chairs, and the air conditioning, and all that.
We want the people come to us.
And then when there's a legitimate need in the community, when you show up, because you remember people who do things for you.
That's true.
So when we show up as a church for the community, the community will show up for us. And you wouldn't believe, we didn't have to worry about anything around the church. Because those guys, really with it, they were there, they watch the church.
Wow.
They said, oh, no, no, we can't let you go over there.
Yeah.
No, no, you can't.
No.
You
that
see?
Happens.
So that's how
myself.
You build in the community. Right, you upbuild your community. And then, of course, if something happens, you got to be there to answer the need when someone is sick, when someone dies, and you have to be there for them.
Yes, yes, yes. So we have two callers on the line. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, good night.
Hello. Welcome.
Could you hear me?
Yes, you can go ahead. We can hear you.
Oh, good, good, good. Yes, I'm thoroughly enjoying your conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I just would like to quickly chime in and say, yes, I know about churching, and I know about staying and sticking with God. In that, what I would like to say to those listeners out there, that churching is real, but it's not the end of your story. That's a part of the process. You know, because we have to understand that we do not have perfect people in the church. We have people heading to perfection in the church. We're being perfected by the Spirit. And then another thing what I would like to say to people is that when you are in church, you come to church for God. You don't come to church for people.
That's for sure.
You know, people like to take their eyes off of God and say, oh, this and all that. And Jesus, God, no, just like the what you call that, Noah with the... many different types of animals were in there. And I sometimes equate that to the church in a way. I don't know if a bishop could go with me on this. You have all kind of different people in the in on that boat. But they have one vision, and one mission is to get to the other side. And he being the leader, he knows which animal needs this and which animal. And sometimes some of the people in the church act like animals. We get ignorant people in the church, too. We get stupid people in the church. And so I don't know if he would agree with me, but I'm going to say that we do. I'm not one of them, but we do. And I like to say, you know, people will only give you what they have, but that's not what they should stay with. You understand where I'm coming from, and that's why I'm so, I can forgive so freely, because I understand capacity. You may not have the capacity that someone else has, so you could forgive them real quick. It doesn't mean reconnection, but it means that I'm not going to stop my life because you don't have or you are not able to offer me what I need. And so my thing is, people need to keep their eyes on the Lord and take their eyes off of man, and you will be able to keep forging forward. The next thing I would like to say to that person is you need to get involved, because when you get involved, you tend to take your eyes off of yourself. You don't stay barricaded because the enemy wants to keep you isolated. You know, what they did to you or what you did to them. Because sometimes we do the things that people we don't want to say. We don't say the whole story, what you did or what they did to you. But the thing about it is, get involved in the ministry. Get on the usher board. Get in the prayer team. And you'll realize that as you do that, that the enemy's strategy to keep you isolated is being destroyed, and that your gifts are coming forward. You know what I'm saying? And so I like to say, just keep your eyes minding the main thing. If you came to church, not for the pastor, not for the members, but you came to church to hear what God has to say concerning your purpose, and you all be blessed.
Thank you so much for your contribution.
Thank
that
you.
Was awesome. Call on you on the air.
Yeah, pleasant good evening to you, precious, and to your sister and to your guests.
That's Akira.
And to commend you guys on the job that you're doing. I'm happy that Mr. Rosenbaugh gave you guys the opportunity. And to my surprise, you guys are doing excellent. So continue to keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Interesting topic.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's action. Really good buddy of mine. And You said something earlier before we got to that phone call, and it slipped my mind, but I want to dive into power and control in churches. Now, I know this is a sensitive topic, but a lot of people...
Not for me.
Obviously not for you, because we know power isn't evil, just the misuse of it is. And so when it comes to the finances of the church, we know that there have been so negative situations and circumstances concerning the misuse of the funds. So can you talk about how can we as a church body gain the trust again to when it comes to giving offerings and donations to the church? Because you know a lot of people say, boy, I'm not giving my money to the church because the pastor only gonna buy a Bentley, the pastor only gonna use my money for X, Y, Z. And I mean, if we could be honest, sometimes this is what we see.
Right.
We see that there are misuse of the funds. Right. And so can you talk about a little bit of that, and also the manipulation that some of the churches use into getting that individual to give that donation or a seed, like the caller said earlier?
Well, first of all, Paul admonished the church, and he wrote to the Corinthians, to the church of Corinth. He said to them, let every man give freely.
Right.
Not begrudgingly or out of necessity. That's how you're supposed to, you have a purpose in your heart what it is that you're going to give.
Right.
I firmly believe, and if you go even far back as the Old Testament, whenever there was work to be done, so the leader, the priest, whomever it is, communicated that need, and they said there was actually a box that was next to the altar where they bore a hole in it, and the people came and they gave in abundance because of the need. So anytime you find that there is time for a need, you would say to the church, listen, we have this need. This is what we want to do. This is how we intend to achieve it.
Right.
You say to them what the whatever the cost is, and then you ask them to give in to that. Now, you may have ways that you say, well, okay, if I can get 10 people to give me $100, 20 people of 50, and so forth and so on, so there could be inclusion. But when you start saying to Precious, no, I need $1,000 from you, you got to go bring that. And I'm not too concerned how you get it, just go and bring it. Your capacity to be able to do that may not be there.
Right.
And then if I say to you, well, we are going to get this money, whatever the money is, to purchase a brand new air conditioner. Okay, we get this money. It's $50 to buy the air conditioner. Month one come, no air conditioner.
Right.
Month two come, no air conditioner. Month three come, no air conditioner. And then in month number 4, 5, and 6, you come say, now we need to go get a new computer, or we need to buy some new doors. Now, you're a little skeptical, but you contribute again.
Right.
Month one come, no door. Month no two door. Come, no... So now you start to step back and have a debate now. How is this supposed to work?
Right.
If you understand how kingdom work, it's you have to be accountable.
Yes, that's for sure.
Because people buy into you before they buy into your vision.
Yes.
And if you are someone who they are... that there's a question mark over it, you ain't got to worry. So one of the things you have to practice, if you say you buy in this $10 to buy this cup, you buy the cup and let them see that cup.
That's true.
Because what that does is it builds the confidence in the people to say, well, I can now trust this leader with finances.
Right.
And then also, it can't be only you dealing with the finances.
Well, that's true.
Now, just let me say, for the record...
Yeah.
Bishop Woods don't deal with the finances of the church.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because we have a committee, the administrator and those persons, but they will report back.
Right.
And I think that is good. And then you have to have regular meetings with your people so you can say to them exactly what is going on. Because here's it is. In the absence of communication, there's confusion. People then start to speculate.
Right.
Because if they can't see the cup, the glass, the air condition, but they can see a brand new car. Now,
yeah. The mothing,
don't matter how you go into the bank for that car.
That's right.
Right?
Something.
Yeah. And you know, perception is 9/10 reality.
Right.
Whatever people perceive is what they believe.
That's true.
And so now you have to now get them to change their perception. And so you have to be open with everything. Jesus was open with everything. When Jesus was out there and he was feeding the people, and he said, they got to feed all these people. They said, but we have no money. He said, okay, go down to the seashore. Go down there, open the fish mouth, get the pearl, go pay for what we need. He was accountable. When money's come into this, he was accountable.
Right.
But you find leaders, don't ask me nothing. Now, this in and out the church, everywhere we go, because I'm the leader. But you don't ask me nothing. But listen, you have to, I have to, you have to be able to ask you. Because if I can't ask you, how I going to know?
No, exactly. So
true. Then you go, if you don't tell me, then now, you know, we as Bahamians, oh, we can fix a story for you.
Oh, yeah.
And when we fix that, that's well fixed. Okay?
That's for sure. So we're just going to run to the phone line, and I remember that question that I had for you. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay. First of all, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Say good night. We know who this is. We know who this is.
Sounds like somebody I know.
We know who this is.
Greetings to Precious Akira and Mr. Darren
Woods. That's Bishop. He's in the capacity of Bishop.
Oh, I apologize.
Darren Woods today.
Bishop Darren Woods.
I know who this is.
Yes.
But I just want to say you guys are doing an amazing job, and I'm really happy that you all are actually touching on these topics, and I feel like this is what the Bahamian people need to hear, because a lot of people don't go to church because they've been hurt, and it's just a lot. So I just want to say y'all doing a good job. I'm going to take up all your time, but Bishop Woods, oh my goodness, I am glad that you are on here showing people that all of the bishops and pastors are not crooked, and they are crooked. Indeed good and honorable and righteous men of God out there. So I just wanted to give y'all your props. Y'all keep doing an awesome job. And that's it. The end.
That's it.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so
much. Thank you for your call, Vash. That was good. Now, I remember you said something earlier about the community building, and you said it's not to do and tell. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to touch that. In my observation now, I see that the church is so silent when it comes to the social issues. Can you address that? Because just the other day, I think we would have had a suicide.
Yes.
The elderly man gave a suicide, and I don't hear much of the church that is speaking out, or even programs or anything that is ongoing. So could you address that?
Right. But I know most of, well, particularly for our denomination, we would speak from that type of thing from a national platform. But of course, in our local churches, we will talk with it pretty much one-on-one. And then, of course, where I'm at in the secular world, we will address it from that vantage point. And that means that there has to be, and I'm almost certain that whichever church is connected near to, I'm sure the pastor would have been there to give some kind of solace to the family and stuff. But when you're talking about it from a national level, we have to be conscious of what is happening around us, because people are pretty much at wit's end. They don't know where to turn, and there has to be an outlet, which is why the church, I believe, has to be more visible in terms of coming out of the four walls.
Right.
There are times when instead of us having service on the inside, we could probably operate on the outside. Because, you know, we don't have street meetings the way we used to anymore. Right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Now this could be our form of street meeting, where on a Sunday morning you put up everything. I know there's a church on a I think it's called about Balfour, one of those avenues. They have this big speak outside, right? So as church going on, church is on the inside, church is going on the outside.
Yeah.
So as you pass, you can hear it. So we have to have creative ways where we actually connect. And if the people believe that the church is someplace where they could come and be heard, the problem is a lot of time people come to the church to hear. But there are some people who come to church to be heard.
That's
the problem is, who's listening?
Yes.
So true.
We all should be listening. We all should be connecting. And then, once they are heard, they have to feel confident enough that if you say something to me in my capacity as the bishop, that you don't hear it from, or you don't hear it from, or you don't hear it from the pulpit.
Right.
That's what I tell you, my mommy tell me.
Right.
Yes.
Don't preach politics. Don't preach people's business. Preach the word. So at the end of the day, people then begin to become comfortable when they are going through certain circumstances or situations. Because let's face it, the pastor is not going to be able to go to every home in the community.
No.
That's true.
All right? But there have to be an avenue where persons can call and say, listen, I need to speak to the pastor. Now, I do know very well that sometimes when you call, if you don't go to the church, the first thing they ask you, are you a member of the church?
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, yes.
No, I'm not a member. Are you connected with? No, I'm not connected with. Okay, we'll call you back and let you know when you can have an, if you can have an appointment, right? But particularly where we are, we try to make sure that we're available within reason.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because at the same token now, people try to, again, manipulate and milk. So there again, where the spirit of discernment would come in. Because if there's a genuine need, God will connect Next. You to let you know that there is a genuine need. And if someone is in need, when you're trying to find ways to, there's not only one answer to your problem or one way to get to the answer. There might be many ways. Similarly, if I say to you, well, let's go down Bay Street. One, we go Nassau Street. The next one, we decide to go this way and go over East Street. And I might decide to go East Street and go over. You understand?
Yes.
But we all connecting to the same point.
Well, that is true. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you this question. There's someone today who has already made up their mind. Their foot is already outside the door to leave that church.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say to them today?
I will say to them, stop. Stop. The reason why I'm saying it, right, whatever you're experiencing in this church, when you get over to the next church, you'll probably experience something, if not the same thing, something similar. Why? Because you're not walking into a perfect environment. The only time that that environment will be perfect is when Jesus comes and takes his bride away, and then we will all be perfect. We don't have to worry about that. There's always an opportunity to work through anything. And I think we joke about it earlier. They'll walk off the church quicker than they'll walk off the job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They'll take whatever it is. And the first thing is, well, I don't have to put up with this.
That's right.
I just go to another church. But they say, I don't have to put up with this. I just leave this job. They come back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Before you know it, they've been there 25 years.
That's right.
Okay? But they're prepared to give you 25 minutes to try to fix a problem for you. My thing is, whatever you're going through,
mm-hmm.
be able to sit and have a conversation with someone. Okay? Because no matter how good a job you believe you're doing, there's someone who believes that you could do better. And we can do better.
Yes.
But you also have to give the opportunity for the person or persons to be able to try to fix whatever it is, okay? Because if you're going through a particular matter and you're not explicit in terms of saying whatever it is, how are we going to do again? But then you expect us to rise to the occasion? I mean, there were some things that God didn't even tell some of his prophets.
Right.
Elijah would say, God didn't show me that. You understand? Mm-hmm. While he showed him some other stuff, he didn't show him that
right.
particular issue. So there has to be a level or place where you can have that conversation, but that only comes through relationship. After you recognize, one, what the person has done for you, two, what the person has done for the organization, and then you start to reproduce it. And so when you start to see that they were able to deal with you and kind of get you to a comfortable place where some things were worked out or you were pointed in the direct direction, and then you see the organization which you're a part of starting to grow and flourish, you say, yeah, this is someone I believe I can trust. And trust is the foundation in any relationship. And your leadership, as a matter of fact, is built on trust.
That's
and trust
sure.
is like this, you know. It goes up one brick at a time. But yet you do one thing.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing come crumbling down.
That's so true.
The whole thing come crumbling down. And so there has to be a level of trust no matter what in whomever it is, particularly in the church. But if you're about to leave the church, the building, the person, the people, because you're saying, oh, they look at you strange. But when you get over there, they can look at you stranger.
I guess you're stranger.
But what if there is like, there? I know we're almost out of time, but what if there is bias? What if there's like bias? Because I know of a situation, a circumstance, where a husband and a wife was, you know, going through, well, having some issues. And because the husband was more of a tither, a bigger tither than the wife, the church just basically the leader sided with him. So, I mean, I just want you to encourage, you know, because there's bias out there. There's persons who like, oh, I already been to my leader. The leaders are biased. They're, you know, they're not being reasonable or understanding where I'm coming from.
Right.
If you can.
Well, one of the things, again, in counseling, right, you never counsel, particularly in that type of situation, one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have both persons in the room to be able to hear from both persons. If he is saying this, she is saying that. And normally when you get people in the room, you can kind of tell which one ain't telling you the truth.
That's true.
Okay? You can tell.
That's true.
But even in a situation like that, you, in terms of money, if you are relying on people for monetary reasons, that means you ain't trusting God.
That's true.
I don't care how much tithes you're paying in the church.
Yes.
Power.
Hello.
Right? I don't care how much tithes you're putting into the church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they can say, well, you know, he could say that, but you know, you need money in the church. You need money no matter where you go.
Right.
But how you get it and what you do with it is a different issue.
That's true.
Because I could depend on the source. I lift up my head to the hills from whence cometh my help.
My help, yes.
Now, you might be the conduit in which the help comes to me, but my help is actually originating from the hills.
That's true.
The maker of heaven and earth, who holds everything. And so, you have to be able to say succinctly, well, you were wrong.
Yes.
If you're the one, the big tither, you were wrong.
Yes.
And now, if he go, let me tell you why he going. He going because he don't want to be exposed.
Mm.
Or if it's her, and you say, and she leave because she don't want to be exposed. But if you are truly, if you truly want resolution, because 9 times out of 10, you can't see the picture of you in the frame. Hello?
Hello.
That's true.
You can't see the picture of you in the frame. You have to come out of the frame in order to be able to see what's going on.
That's so true.
And so you have to be able to address it straight down the middle.
Yes.
Say, I ain't getting a horse in the last place. Say, I have no horse in the race. I really ain't getting a race.
That's for sure. I think you say you have about some text message you want to read?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as we wind down, I'm going to allow you to give your closing remark to the listeners out there to let them know that church is and can be a place of healing rather than hurting.
Yeah, I would say to those, particularly, that don't give up on the church, and I'm talking about the people who make up the church, the called out one.
Right.
Because if we in the church, we could have an informed care, like be able to address trauma when it comes. If we look at things from a holistic vantage point where you are trying to address the person's well-being, including spiritual, emotional, physical, and the community of compassion, that is paramount anywhere you go. Because that was something that was high on Jesus' agenda.
Right.
And a safe listening ear for people to come and be able to talk to and create that. And then when there is grief and healing, that you there's a systematic way of dealing with it.
Right.
Reality. Be realistic in whatever it is that we're doing. And when you start to implement these things, the church can be a place of healing, an avenue where people can go and grow.
Yes.
Spiritually, mentally, and even professionally, because you could have certain things that would aid or lend to that happening. And so once we do that, you will then realize that the church could be a wonderful place to go, where the believers come together and we draw from each other.
Hey, I like that. Go ahead, Key, with your closing remark as we wrap up the show.
As we close, I just want to encourage our listeners out there, whether the church has been a place of healing or hurt for you, don't give up on your journey with God. Healing is real and grace is still available. We thank you for spending your time with us today. I'm Akira with the Precious One and Bishop Darren Woods. And this is Remark with Precious and Akira. Two voices, one purpose, inspiring, empowering, and transforming lives through conversations.
I just want to say, don't forget to pick up the Guardian paper tomorrow. We will be on Guardian today at 2 p.m. I will be hosting, and Akira will be my co-host. So just tune in tomorrow at 2 p.m. Guardian today. And thank you, Bishop Woods, for your insight. We appreciate it, and we're out of here.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Make this your response.
Amen.
To whatever he said.
Amen.
From the healing of your body.
Amen.
To the raising of the dead.
Amen.
No matter how you're feeling.
Amen.
Or how your world is reeling.
Amen.
Battle on through the night.
Amen.
'Cause you're gonna win the fight.
Amen.
Even in the valley.
Amen.
Or standing at your Red Sea.
Amen.
Continue to say.
Amen.
'Cause your help is on the way.
Amen.
My God has spoken. I heard him.
Let the church
say.
Amen.